This podcast is a 98 Studios production.
Hey, it's Christy. Welcome back to Do the Work. Today and every day, we will talk about things that really matter. You, your thoughts, your feelings, and your experiences. Relationships are what matter most, and they can be complicated. If you'd like a better connection with yourself, with others, and with God, you are in the right place. So glad you're here. Welcome back to Do the Work. I'm so happy that you're here and joining along as we continue, as I continue to invite guests and do solos about the different chapters in Edith Eger's book, The Gift, on mental prisons and how we stay stuck. But first of all, I want to thank you for sharing the podcast when you hear it, for leaving reviews, for giving the podcast as many stars as you possibly would be willing to give. Thank you for taking the time to do that. I got on the other day and saw some reviews and it just feels very sweet to see. So thank you. I'm here today with Kimberly Bamble Rash. I see your middle name, Kim, and I always wondered, am I saying that right in my head?
It's not my middle name. It's my maiden name.
Your maiden name. Yeah. Let's make up what Bamble means.
It's German. I don't know. Bumble.
Is that how you say it? It's awesome. Good. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about Kim. She is such a wonderful person and she is my personal friend, but she's also, I think, an absolute expert in what we're going to talk about today. So let me tell you a little bit about her. Kimberly Bamble Rash has had lots of learning and adventures with her husband of almost 30 years. 30 years is a long time. Good job.
We made it.
Yeah, good job. Good job. I love your husband too. She's the mother of 6 fun, loving children. She's a grandma of 3 amazing lovelies. Do you call them lovelies?
Yeah, I love them. They're just like light up my life.
Isn't being a grandma the dream?
It's the best.
I know, I agree. She enjoys most things outdoors. Walking, biking, hiking, paddleboarding, snowshoeing, boating. She has found being outside to be healing, uplifting, and pure joy. Amen. She has a degree in family sciences with an emphasis in marriage and family therapy and child development, and also a master's in business, which you just got.
Yeah, I just got. It's been 2 years now from Brigham Young University. Yeah,
that is so cool. In fact, I met someone that was in your same program down at the senior games playing tennis. No, 2 people.
Who?
Oh. Kim and I forgot the guy's name. But did you know a Kim? No, maybe it's not a Kim. Loved him.
I don't know.
I remember their names. Okay. Kim has studied Kundalini meditations, breath work, foot, face, and back zoning, and herbal healing. She has a passion for traveling with her family and learning about new cultures. She loves people and could people watch all day.
It's the best.
It is. I agree. People watching outside is like a dream,
yes.
Right? She has a love for truth and for Jesus Christ. I actually know this is true about you too. I've seen it. I've heard it. I feel it from you. So I really love that when I read that in your bio. Kim's crazy about dark chocolate and playing games. She enjoys making new friends and learning about people and their experiences. Welcome, Kim.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here with you, Christy, because you're one of my favorite people ever and one of my mentors. I feel like I have learned so much from you.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you're here. I want to mention, it wasn't in your bio, but you also have your own podcast.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
It's called Seek with Kim, and we talk about everything from business to life to lots of hard things and lots of good things. And I wanted to say also at the beginning, when you're talking about people getting on and saying stuff, I love your podcast.
Yeah.
And one of the things, as I was sitting here listening to you, I'm like, you do this for free. Like, yeah. You take all of the wisdom and knowledge that you have gained from your lifetime and you share it for free.
Yeah, good point.
And I am just so grateful for that. I love that I can just jump on and listen to your tips on principles
Thank
of truth.
You.
And I really am grateful for that. So people get on.
Yeah,
And listen, it's free. It's free therapy.
It is free. And it is, I think, podcasting.
But it came at a cost.
It came. Thank you, Kim. Thank you so much. Okay. Today, Kim and I are going to be addressing the mental prison of self-neglect. Kim, as you know, I'm addressing each mental prison from Edith Eger's book, The Gift. And I just think how she explains why we neglect ourselves is so well articulated that I'm going to just share from Edith here for a minute. Okay. Have you read the book?
Yes. I love it.
Know it.
It's so good. And I think one of our good friends, didn't Becky Berry introduce that
Actually,
book to us?
I had a client send it to me.
Oh,
and
okay.
Say, you're going to like this.
And it took me a long time to read hers, maybe a year after I heard about it. And now I'm just like, I feel like Edith is our best friend.
I do. Like, in fact, as long as we're voting for older people for president, what about Edith?
What about Edith? She would have all my votes.
I agree. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So from her book, she says, one of our first fears is of abandonment. And now I'm out of the book and I'm speaking for myself. I've heard that abandonment is the number one fear of all humans. So back to her book. Thus, we learn early how to get the A's, attention, affection, and approval. We figure out what to do and whom to become to get our needs met. The problem is not that we do these things, it's that we keep doing them. We think we must in order to be loved. It's very dangerous to put your whole life into someone else's hands. You are the only one you're going to have for a lifetime. All other relationships will end. So how can you be the best loving, unconditional, no-nonsense caregiver to yourself? Now, I have a personal opinion that's different than that. I don't believe that all relationships will end. I believe relationships go from this life to the next. But I 100% agree with her that your relationship with yourself is the most critical, because how you show up, how you think about and care about yourself is how you're going to show up in your relationships. You're nodding your head. Yes.
Yeah. I read this quote this morning by Patricia Holland.
Yes.
And she was saying similar thing, but basically like, you are your best friend. You are like, if I could give you any advice to my younger self or any of you women listening, it would be to stop and take care of yourself, your mental, your emotional, your physical, and your spiritual needs, because you are the only one who is going to care for you. And that doesn't mean, like, I think what you're saying, there are going to be lots of people in our lives who are going to love us and support us. And I understand what Edith is saying too, that those people fall away, right? Like neighbors move and parents move and children move out. And, you know, and so you are in charge of you.
You are in charge of you. Thank you. I agree. Going back to her book, in childhood, we receive all sorts of messages, spoken and unspoken, that shape our beliefs about how we matter and what we're worth. And we can carry these messages into adulthood. I want to just share from her book two experiences that she shared about two different men and how they learned to see themselves. She said, for example, Brian's father abandoned the family when Brian was 10, and he became the man of the house, taking care of his mother, doing everything in his power to make life easier for her, to soothe her pain, and to make sure she wouldn't leave, too. He brought this caretaker identity into adulthood and kept choosing relationships with needy women. He resented them for the constant sacrifice they demanded, and yet he had difficulty setting healthy boundaries. He thought that to be loved, he had to be needed. Another patient, Matthew, was born to a mother who had not chosen to become pregnant with him. She felt burdened by motherhood and entered into it with no sense of anticipation or enthusiasm. When parents are stressed or disappointed or unfulfilled, their children pick up the tab, carrying the burden into their own lives. As an adult, Matthew still held a terrible fear of abandonment that manifested in rage. He was cruel to his girlfriends and would go on rants in public, yelling at people, once even throwing a dog across a parking lot.
Okay, so this kind of just reminds me of something I was thinking of today. As I was driving here, I was thinking one of the things that I picked up as a child was I had to do things to be enough. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I feel like I picked up in the culture of my religion mm-hmm. is the more you do, the more enough you are.
Your enoughness rises.
Yeah. You know, and I even heard people say, that woman, she's earned herself a place in heaven.
Yeah.
She has earned the celestial kingdom by actually neglecting herself or her family mm-hmm. to do service for someone else to feel enough. So I really, like, I love what Edith's saying. Like, we do pick up as a young child either to self-care or self-neglect, which is kind of what we're going to talk about.
Yes. And I'm so excited. That is, I love what you said. Thank you. Kate, one tiny last bit from her book. Even if we didn't experience a discernible event or trauma that forced us to fight to be loved or seen, most of us can remember times we protected others or performed for them in order to secure their approval. We may have come to believe that we're loved for our achievements or for the role we fill in the family or because we take care of others. Unfortunately, many families, in trying to motivate children to do well for themselves, create a culture of achievement in which the child's, quote, being gets entwined with her, quote, doing. Just what you said. She's taught she matters not for who she is, but for how she performs and behaves. Children are under such intense pressure to get good grades, be high-performing athletes or musicians, ace college entrance tests, earn a degree at a select college or university that will lead to a high-paying job in a competitive field. But if a good report card or good manners earn love, that's not love at all. It's manipulation. So when so much emphasis is placed on achievement, children don't get to experience unconditional love. That they're loved no matter what, that they're free to be themselves, that it's permissible to make mistakes, that we're all in a process of learning and becoming, and that learning can be exciting and joyful. And Kim, as I was reading that, I thought, and we call it love. And that's what's so confusing. That's why we have so many adults acting like children, because they never learned that their worth was separate from their achievements.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So true. Thank you, Edith.
Thank you, Edith.
She's so amazing. One of the things I love about her is her life experiences and how she chose to perceive them.
Me too.
In such a responsible, kind, humble way. So I was thinking of an experience too. I think sometimes we as parents are doing actually good things.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this thought. You know, I definitely tied my worth up in the way my home looked,
mm-hmm.
the cleanliness of my home.
Mm-hmm.
And as a child and a teenager, I manipulated. Like if I knew it was important, my mom had 7 children and just a busy lifestyle. And I knew it was important to keep things organized and clean for her. And so I would do those things so I could do what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then as any probably kind mother would do, they said, thank you.
Yeah.
And you got accolades.
This is my cleaner.
She's my helper. I rely on her so much. And they were kind words. And I chose to pick them up as that meant my worth or value was better than someone else's.
Yes.
Right. And so I learned at a young age, it was better to neglect myself.
Mm-hmm.
Than it was to actually self-care.
So tell me more about that, Kim. What if someone's listening to this? Because this is kind of a hard topic. If you haven't spent some time learning and trying to understand, why do I do what I do? Edith isn't the only one who's going to speak about this. You read from any psychologist, any psychiatrist, they're going to talk about self-neglect. And frankly, one of the first steps to healing is learning to love ourselves, care for ourselves. So tell me what you mean when you say this.
So I think for me, it's been a journey, mm-hmm. like trying to figure out, trying to distinguish, like, what does self-neglect look like? What does self-care look like? Self-neglect to me at this point in my life
mm-hmm.
looks like when I let something go mm-hmm. in me, when I choose to be a victim and say, oh, I just don't have time to work out. I just have to take care of all my children. Mm-hmm. Or I didn't eat anything today
yeah.
because I'm such a good mom. I ran all over town.
Yeah. I had a friend one time reach out to a few of us and say, I do not go to the bathroom when I need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
She said, I will go all day needing to go to the bathroom and not go to the bathroom. Could I kind of check in with you to like, because
I've been there with her. Like you're just holding it all day, right?
Totally.
So self-neglect is when I do not take care of my basic human needs, my mental, my emotional, my spiritual.
Yes.
When I'm not caring, and as a being, we're a whole being. I can't separate like, oh, my physical body needs to use the restroom,
right?
But I'll self-care around, you know, my mental body. Like the whole, it's a whole package.
Yes.
So if I am self-neglecting, I am not well. If I am, you know, choosing to take 10 dinners this week to families in need, and I am a victim, I'm angry, I am neglecting my own children, they don't have food. You know, or I haven't sat down and really connected with my spouse, or I haven't taken time to meditate or pray today.
Yes.
If I am dropping me,
yes,
then that is not creating a well-being for me. Mm-hmm. So am I saying like, don't ever serve or don't ever care for other people? No, but I'm saying that I can only give what I have,
yes.
right? So if I'm
honestly, you can only give what you have honestly.
Yes.
Because lots of people give way more than they have.
Right.
But it's because they want to get, they're needing the approval.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that for me is I've separated like what is self-care for me is not entitled. It's not like I have to go get my hair done. I have to get my nails done today. I need to run to the tanning salon, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I have tried those things in my life. And those did not fall into, for me, the category of self-love and self-care.
Yes.
For me, I have found that self-care means that I am loving me. I am mm-hmm. taking time to tenderly, gently, with compassion, care for my own needs. And if that means that, you know, I have a day where I'm feeling depressed or down or sad, that's okay for me to be gentle with myself and say, maybe today is a day that you need to take a walk out in nature.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe today is the day that I need to spend a little bit more time pondering or meditating and really digging into loving me.
I really, as you were saying that, I thought, you know, maybe today's the day I need to spend more time pondering or meditating. But someone who has neglected themselves for much of their life would have a very hard time pondering or meditating because that's uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable to have to sit and feel
yeah.
when you've self-neglected for a long time. You know, I had no idea what self-neglect was. I was raised by really wonderful parents, and my mom was so good at helping us as children learn. Like, I remember her saying, hey, take some cookies down to Sister Hansen and visit with her for 10 minutes, you know, while you're there. And I'm like, oh, mom, you know, this will feel good for her, which is so beautiful. I mean, she taught me how to serve. Somewhere in the process, I mistranslated to my worth is in the service, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it has taken me some time. And I think even sometimes I've swung to the other side of like, I'm not looking out my window because someone might need something, you know, but I spent a lot of my life caring for others when I was out of gas. I hadn't filled my own tank so that I could like come with authenticity and an actual give instead of a, here's a give, what are you going to give me back?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not anything tangible, even if it's just, you're amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, someone needs to do the next thing, right?
Right. And I think that takes some practice. I know you and I have talked about Bessel van der Kolk, and
The Body Keeps the Score.
Yeah, from The Body Keeps the Score.
And a bunch of other things.
And I was listening to one of his lectures a while ago, and I didn't write this down exactly, but I'll kind of read. He says, in order to change people, people need to become aware of their sensations and the ways their bodies interact with the world around them. Physical self-awareness is the first step in releasing tyranny from the past.
Wow.
And for me, I feel like I had this experience maybe 12 years ago. I had six little kids and I was empty. I was empty. My, you know, marriage was going through some hard things. Financially, things were hard. And I felt really empty. And I remember wanting to avoid so much in my life and distract. So I was distracting by taking meals to people and distracting by watching people's kids and distracting because that was pseudo filling me, right? It was telling me I'm okay and patting me on the back because that's what I had learned as a child.
Right.
And I remember getting up early. I actually didn't want to get up early. I was an early person then.
Yeah.
And I just was probably awakened because of the heaviness of my heart.
Yeah.
And things that were going on in my life. And I remember I woke up and it was really early in the morning. And I had this thought come to me about what Bessel's talking about. If I'm not aware of what's going on in me, I can't heal.
Yeah.
I can't I didn't understand, like you were talking about, I didn't understand that my self-care, and I'm saying this in quotations, was actually self-neglect. Hmm. I didn't understand that. So at that point in my life, I decided I was going to choose six top things in my life. And I believe this is where my self-care started, my journey of self-care. And I said, okay, I have six little kids age ranging from 16 down to 18 months. And I was like, I'm going to do six things for myself. And I made a list in order of the top most important things. And prayer was at the top, meditation, which I had never done at this time.
Yeah.
Okay. But I had heard about it. Yes. From people.
Yeah.
I had heard it was something you could do. Yeah, exactly. And then I added in, I was going to jump rope and I was going to, because at that time I just didn't have time to exercise. I'm saying that in quotations too, right? And I'm going to read a book I love and I'm going to, and I listed six. Oh, I said, I'm going to, and all these things I only was going to do for 10 minutes. That's it. I had 1 hour. What 10 each,
oh, each
thing,
10
minutes.
Minutes.
And I had 1 hour before my children woke up.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, I can get up at 6 a.m. now. And that was really hard for me. And I'm going to do these 10 things. And I can tell you that was life changing for me. It actually completely changed who I am today. I began to feel what actual self-care and feeling me felt like. To sit for 10 minutes and say to myself, I'm going to sit here silently and just remember who I am. I'm just going to remember God loves me, that I am perfect the way I am, where I am right now. It's where I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to jump rope for 10 minutes and then I'm going to read a book I've really been wanting to read for 10 minutes, okay? And that actually led to more time sometimes. Sometimes it was like, oh, I did that for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it set a foundation for me to actually care for me. And then it gave me the space to feel really present and joyful throughout the day. So for me, that was the beginning and of being still. And it led to a lot more really uncomfortable thoughts. It led to a lot more of like, what really is going on in my relationships? What really am I, thinking about myself? It wasn't nice. It wasn't positive.
Yes.
It wasn't uplifting. You know, what am I spending my time on throughout the day? It was distracting, a lot of it. And so I think that for me, that was just the opening of the door to what does really self-care look like. And for me, it's connecting with me and God.
Kim, I love that so much. When my clients come into my office, I love them. I think they come in and someone opens their heart and I'm like, oh my gosh, just how could I not care about you? And I would say across the board, lack of self-care is one of like underneath a lot of people's pain. And what you just said, I love, is you didn't just say, so I decided to run a marathon. You decided to take care of all of you, spiritually, physically, intellectually, socially, like emotionally. That is, like you said earlier, we're a whole person. And so to care for all of you is, it's critical. We don't have to do something every single day for each part of us. But if we don't nourish each of those spaces inside of us, they will start to wither and we will feel it and we won't even know how or why. Yeah. Why we're feeling it. I love that. I love that you took an extra hour. You decided, because to me, one way that I self-care, I get my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
When I don't get my sleep, it's not nice, Christy. It's a different kind of, my capacity decreases. So I feel like sleep is really important. But I too, just like you, at some one point had recognized, if I don't get up early, I was never an early person. If I don't get up early to do these things, to take care of me, then I am less in every other space in my life. And it's amazing how 1 hour or 30 minutes can affect the rest, the next 23 and a half hours of your next day.
It's so true. It's interesting because I love sleep.
Oh.
And I don't know how, like six babies, like I just was like, sorry, baby, you have to cry.
Yeah.
Like mommy needs sleep. Mm-hmm. Right. And my husband and I were big about our babies need to sleep. It's mm-hmm. better for them. Mm-hmm. It's better for me. And it's true when I work with people who have depression, severe depression, anxiety, mm-hmm. suicide, one of the first things they will do is give them something to sleep. Because if you're not sleeping, you're not mentally, emotionally, physically, or spiritually well. Your brain needs sleep. So yes, getting the care, making sure that, you know, was part of self-care. I couldn't stay up anymore till midnight. You know, I needed to choose to be in bed by 9:30 or 10 so that I could get my sleep. So this is, I think when you're saying you see a lot of your clients who have self-neglect, me too. And I also saw it in me.
Yes.
I was self-neglecting for so many years, which actually led me to probably a lot of the places that were unhappy in my life.
Yes.
Because I was maybe allowing people to take advantage of me. Or I was allowing myself not to use my voice and share me. And that hurts me.
Yes.
So if I'm not in a space to self-care, I'm in a space of self-neglect. There's no in-between. There's no like just sitting on the fence, right? I'm either self-neglecting or I'm self-caring.
Caring.
And here's the thing I found in my life now is that the more I self-care, the more I have to offer.
Yes.
The more mentally well I am and emotionally well, the more available I am for you and my friends and my husband and my children.
Yes.
Right? So I might be coming over to drop you a casserole off, but if I'm not self-caring, I'm not available to see you.
To connect
or connect with you. I just want to drop it at your door and check my list.
Yes.
But if I have been self-caring, I actually want to see you.
I want to
know how you are. The casserole is just something I brought along, but I actually want to be with you.
Yeah.
And I actually want to see you. And so you've already mentioned check-ins. I do a daily check-in with myself because I'm the only one who's going to care for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have lots of beautiful people around me who, you know, Christy's one of them, who will send me a text, mm-hmm. who will say, how are you, thinking of you? Or my husband will do kind things, or my children, my mom. And I'm the only one who knows how I am mentally.
Mm-hmm.
I am the only one who knows how I am spiritually.
Mm.
I'm the only one who knows what my body feels like physically.
Yeah.
And so those check-ins every day actually give me the space to say, honestly, Kim, how are you?
Mm.
I love you and I want to know how you are today. And if things are great, what have you been doing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, make note of that. What have you been doing that feels great? If things aren't so good, what do you need to do or add? Or did you miss something? Or what do you need to shift to feel better? in that area. For me, that has been life-changing. And I learned that check-in maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Around my, like, I think for years I learned to just be like, just go, just put on your pioneer heritage and just walk till your feet
put
freeze.
On your pioneer.
Yeah, until they cut your toes
put your
off.
On.
Or yeah. Like, I just think I had told myself, just ignore. And basically what I was saying is ignore you.
Mm-hmm.
The red flags, you know, when your knee is hurting and you just get a cortisone shot and keep going.
Yes.
It's like, that is an ignore, right? Yeah. When you wake up in the morning heavy hearted and feel like, what's the purpose today?
Yeah.
And I just ignore that and keep going.
Yes.
That is basically saying, just ignore you, which kind of leads me. Do you know Sarah Blondin? You seen her post? Or she's just a very beautiful soul. I don't know. I came upon her scrolling through Instagram, actually.
Yeah.
So she wrote this quote that I love. She says, I am love. It is never lacking or able to be stolen from me. I am good enough. I trust in life. There is not pain too great not to be fed by my own love.
Hmm.
Kindness. I am kindness. I am strong. My worth is not to be taken from me or earned or gained. I am already all that I am worth and that I will ever be worth. And as I read this quote a few weeks ago from her, I just was like, yeah. There should be nothing that I'm unwilling to love in myself. There's no choice I've ever made, nothing that's ever happened to me, no thought I've ever had that should change my value or worth. I should be willing to sit with me and love me.
And if you can't, then do the work.
Yes.
Figure out why that's uncomfortable. Why can't I love me? Why do I have a hard time looking in the mirror? Why, when someone gives me a compliment, do I push it back? Why? That just to get curious, don't beating yourself up over it. I don't know one person who's like, yeehaw, I'm going to be a better person because someone just beat me up. There might be a moment of, well, I never want to have that experience again, so I'm going to try and do something different, but it doesn't last. It is true for ourselves when we beat ourselves up. I thank you for sharing that. Kim, I want to know as quick as you can share, you do meditations, you do zoning, would you foot, back, and
face
zoning. What is that? If someone were thinking, what could I do to kind of self-care?
Yeah. So I think for me, I've been on this journey of like, I am huge. I love learning principles and self-talk. I coach like Christy does. Mm-hmm. And it's been amazing in my life and it's been very healing. And through having some pretty big traumas in my life, I have found that I needed more. I was searching and praying for God to send me different things to help me remove mental, emotional, physical traumas in my life because I'm human, right? Mm-hmm. So we all are human. We've all had these things. So foot zoning, it's similar to maybe like a reflexology.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a way that on your foot, your face, your back, your hands, your earlobes, there's a mapping of the whole body. So meaning on the, you know, if you've seen acupuncture, reflexology, there are points on the body that you can touch or push on that actually will release emotions or toxins from the body.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very old. It was found thousands of years ago. There are studies and pictographs of people zoning each other. I was trained by a woman from Sweden, and it was life-changing for me.
Mm.
I have used it in so many areas of my life to help me be more whole. And well, and so it kind of falls into that holistic healing family.
Mm-hmm.
And same with the massage family. Any of you who go and get regular massages, you know it's healing. It's not just someone working on your muscles. You literally feel a release from your being.
Shout out to Harvest Wellness Massage.
Love them. Love them.
Exactly.
So amazing.
Yeah.
So that falls in that same family. And it's been amazing for me. My Kundalini meditation training kind of fell in my lap. I had always been interested in monks.
Yeah.
And reading books about so monks intriguing. And being still and quiet, because I was not a quiet, still person.
Yeah.
I was moving 1,000 miles an hour. I was talking super fast. And I now realize that was part of my distracting and my own uncomfortableness within me. And so I heard about this training going on and these amazing Sikhs from all over the world that were going to come and do this. And I joined without knowing what it was. My training consisted of meditating for 8 hours a day.
Straight.
I was not ready for that.
Oh,
if you want to really look at yourself and everything that maybe you've done wrong, every way you've hurt someone, affected someone, every way you've been affected and hurt, this is the way to do it. And it was so uncomfortable for me. It was literally many times I had to get up and leave. There were lots of tears and emotions, lots of childhood things that came up that I had forgotten about. Wow. So I had read this quote years ago by Bruce R. McConkie, who's the leader in our church. And it was probably 25 years ago. I was a really young mom. Mm-hmm. And I had read that he wrote something to the effect saying that the door to seeing our Savior Jesus Christ is meditation.
Wow.
And it kind of always sat in the back of my mind where I was like, well, that's for like those people, not me. Like, that's like,
really?
Yeah. Like, really, that's for those really spiritual people or really.
Like,
yeah. And so that was years ago. And I went and did this training and it was hard and it was uncomfortable. And I can tell you that it's a way to be really present. Mm. It's a training. It wasn't something that I had to work up to. I was kind of forced into it. So what I would say about meditation is it was a way for me to get comfortable with what I was uncomfortable with in myself. Mm-hmm. It was a way for me really to bring everything to the surface and just say like, oh, wow, that's a thought that you actually say to yourself. Mm-hmm. And you've been saying that for years. That's yucky. Mm-hmm. Get rid of it. Or that's something you did or said to someone else. Repent of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something that someone else did to you. Forgive
it.
And it led me through that whole journey of hours and hours of meditation. Today, with my family in scripture study every morning, I lead my children and husband through a 3-minute. It's short. With all my clients, I usually start with a 1 to 3 minute stillness or meditation. And my own personal, I still do a 30 to 45 minute every day.
Every day.
It's part, you know, Christy, you would not be able to not play tennis, right?
Yeah.
Or go on a bike
or
ride.
Or like exercise.
Or exercise. Yeah. It becomes a part of your being where you're like, I have seen and felt the benefits. And when I go without it, I'm lacking.
Yes.
And so I would say to those of you who are listening who haven't, practice being still. Try 1 minute.
Mm. Like just turn the radio off.
Just sit for 1 minute.
Sit.
Yes. Yeah. And breathe.
Yeah.
Just sit and breathe for 1 minute. And tell, Christy had asked me something about, do you really believe? I think it was like, do you really think self-talk or positive affirmations are really good or important? And yeah, that during that meditation, what I am doing is I am being still, but I have kind of a mantra and I'll leave you with one. The mantra that I tell all my clients and that I tell myself every day is, you are love.
Yeah.
You are love. Nothing that you do or say changes that. No experience you've had on this earth changes that. You are love. And if you could just say that to yourself every day for 1 minute, I promise you, it would change how you feel about yourself and other people.
Oh, I love that, Kim. Thank you. You know, at the end of every chapter of The Gift, Edith gives like different tips and tools to do. And in this chapter, it goes right along with what you just said. She said, spend 5 minutes every day. What was her language? Spend 5 minutes, at least 5 minutes every day, savoring pleasant sensations. The first cup of coffee in the morning, the feel of warm sun on your skin, or a hug from someone you love, the sound of laughter or rain or on the roof, the smell of baking bread. I just like, if we spent 5 minutes just saying, just experiencing joy, that is self-care. For me, self-care also looks like exercise, like you mentioned, sleep, like we talked about, communicating. When there's conflict or something off in a relationship, I am not okay to just pretend like it's not there. I want to address it. That's a way that I self-care. Another way I like to self-care is I want to walk towards my fears. I don't want to live in fear. Another way that I self-care is I care about others. So we talked about that being the, not self-neglect, but it is one of the most beautiful ways to self-care, to care about others, to forget that life is not all about me all the time and my experiences. So to care about others, when you were talking about affirmations, I go and I to this gym because I want to get stronger physically. And sometimes we have to really push it on the treadmill and there's these mirrors in front of us. And I may have shared this before, but I'm amazed at how much more strength I feel. But I will look in the mirror and as I'm running at a fast clip that you will never see me running on this street, but on the treadmill, I can push it up because we're only doing it for a minute or whatever. I will look straight in the mirror and I will say, you are strong. You are courageous. And then I'll move into gratitude. I'm so thankful for my body. I'm so thankful for the sleep that I received that I could be here. And I am like eye to eye with myself in the mirror. That feels like love to me. That feels loving. And I just, you know, as we close today, I guess I would ask you, what's one thing that you would invite people to do? If they were going to just take one thing from this podcast, what would you say? What would you recommend that they do?
I would 100% recommend meditation. I would 100% recommend being comfortable, being still.
Would like getting like the Calm app or something, would that help someone learn how to meditate?
Yeah. Okay. Getting, the easiest way to do it is just sit for 1 to 3 minutes and breathe and be still. That's it. Just sit. You don't need anything fancy. You don't need an app. You don't need... like, just find a quiet space, your closet. My closet is where I can go, where people can't, you know, usually come find me in there. And just be still.
It's beautiful. And I would say, take Kim's mantra and say to yourself, every time you can think of it, you are love. You'll have many choices in your day and in your week. Kim and I hope you'll do the work.
If you'd like to be a guest on the podcast, share a written experience, or ask me a question, go to coachchristy.life and fill out the podcast questionnaire, and we'll be in touch with you soon. There are no dumb questions or experiences, just opportunities to learn and do the work. Have a great week.